WNST, Towson, Baltimore, and Baltimore Positive. We are positively doing something that might feel normal, although how normal can it feel if the Cincinnati Bengals are there? Chris Pike joins us now. He will not be in Los Angeles on Radio Row. Almost feels like that's not normal. Luke will not be with me next week, although you guys will be back here doing production-oriented things with Baltimore Positive and WNST. And I will be mask up, courtesy of our friends at the Maryland Lottery, our friends at Coons, and of course Wise Markets and Royal Farms, sending me westward. How am I going to do Super Bowl where you're not on my couch, Pike? This is not normal. This doesn't feel new age to me. It feels so lonely out on the coast without you.
Yeah, and I'm wondering how many of our friends will make their way out too and be a part of Super Bowl week. I mean, it's been a long fall with everything that's gone on, and it will be interesting to see from your perspective what Radio Row and the Super Bowl being in a big city in Los Angeles. I remember the last time we were in a huge city when we were in New York for Super Bowl 48. Usually the game swallows up the city. That was the only time in my experience where the city swallowed up the game. It was just another day in New York, and I suspect that it will be just another day in LA. But of course, with the home team involved in the game, that'll add a different element to it, and maybe it won't feel nearly as lost in the big city.
People asking why you have Pike on the Pride of Mount St. Joe and the Loyola Greyhounds and the Birmingham Barons, and I say, like, on a day like today, when you worked in that Saints organization before it happened, and Katrina and all of that, and you worked in the Atlanta Falcons organization, and they're still waiting to make it happen, and obviously lost the Super Bowl in the way they did. The thoughts of the Cincinnati Bengals, and for me and my friendship with Marvin and every Jack Brennan and every, Big Dave, you know, who's come on from done radio with me 100 times over the last 20 years, and every Jeff Hobson and, you know, all the people that we know and the Bengals. And you've been to Cincinnati a million times. You've done ESPN work with the Bearcat Stadium and been in and out of all these baseball side of the Reds and whatever. You mentioned that the Super Bowl could swallow up a city in that way. For the city of Cincinnati to be involved in this, and Joe Burrow, and I know you had some intimate exposure with Joe Burrow in the college game and winning college championships and whatnot. Give me some thoughts on this, because I would think the things you're saying to your wife when you're watching this on Sunday afternoon about Cincinnati and people you know and friends that we know that have been involved in Cincinnati, this is good for that city. And I've been in and out of there a million times. Chris, when I didn't even know how to react when I left the Chaucer and they won the game, because I thought, I didn't even know they were allowed to be in the Super Bowl, because it felt like they're so on the periphery of things in Cincinnati.
Well, they were struggling the early part of the year. I mean, to go from where they were after week two to now 60 minutes away from a world championship is pretty amazing. But having seen Joe Burrow up close in the national championship game in New Orleans a few years ago when he played for LSU, and how much he willed them to the national title and how good he was that year. You could tell he was going to be a special quarterback at the NFL level. For the city of Cincinnati to have this sort of renaissance happen, and they've been okay. They have not been Cleveland in a sense that they've had a huge struggle. They have been to the Super Bowl before. They haven't won it. But they've been to that part of the mountaintop. They obviously have a great fan base there that loves the Bengals. They're a city that's very energized by that football team, and they've got exciting players. I mean, you look at their skill position guys or defensive players, and much like we have here in Baltimore, they have a kicker who's a cult hero. So they have all these ingredients in place, and this is a team that, quite honestly, in the divisional round, didn't play very well. I mean, Joe Burrow was under siege back there, and they found a way to win. They were in a tough spot in the conference championship game, down 18. They found a way to win.
You can't find a tougher spot than down 18 in Kansas City, right?
No,
I mean, other than the weather bearing down on you, which it wasn't, but once you do that, that's the fear for me, because we don't hate Joe Burrow here yet. The Bengals have been relatively benign, although it was very competitive all the years Marvin was there with Carson Palmer and Andy Dalton, and we got knocked out of the playoffs. I mean, we lost some bad December, early January beats to Cincinnati, but The disdain we have here has always been reserved for the Colts or the Redskins and certainly the Steelers. The Browns are, you know, sitting in the corner winning three games a year and benign. But the days of the Bengals being benign when they could be losing by three touchdowns on the road in January and this kid can win, he's going to be a problem around here. We're going to learn to dislike him.
Well, you know, I think there's – he carries himself, and I noticed this when he played at LSU – it is not arrogance. It is a confidence, a swagger, if you will. He carries himself in a certain way that he knows what he is capable of doing and that his team, his teammates, and the people around him feed off of that. He's obviously the leader of that franchise. And, you know, for him to come in 2 years in after a bad knee injury, you know, as you know, I work for the Pro Football Writers. We named him our comeback player of the year. After, you know, having a 10-game stretch in his rookie year that was as good as anything, and then all of a sudden the knee injury takes him out.
Well, it's very unlikely, right? Like, I mean, with Roethlisberger doing this at the beginning, did it with Hall of Famers everywhere, right? You know, I'm thinking of young quarterbacks. I mean, Flacco was in championship games rookie year. Like it happens, but it happens with this cast of veterans where if he would have flown into this the year before Marvin got thrown out, but you have to be 2-14 bad to get the number one. You know, look at Stafford. He's 13 years. He was waiting to be surrounded by Hall of Famers, which he is, because Aaron Donald's going to the Hall of Fame. Jalen Ramsey's in the Hall of okay for now. And, you know, you bring in the Whitworths and you bring in these other, the OBJ, you bring in these players that surround a 13-year veteran. But in the second year, that's really the scary part, because, look, you can look at Chase and say he's okay. You can look at their offensive line and say, you better hope that gets better for him or he's going to get smeared before it's all over with. But the days of Dunlop and, you know, heck, we took DeMonta Peck and played here with him, and he played again last year. I mean, all of their best players gone. It's hard to name their players beyond Eli Apple and his big mouth. I mean, they are a little anonymous, and this feels very, very early on, even from what probably Zach Taylor expected for the season and for what the Brown family expected, that you'd say they're early to the party. That's probably what makes it even scarier, is that they are kind of early to the party. This is very unexpected. And Kevin Byrne would always say this. Veteran people would say this. It's a lot more fun when you win and you didn't think you were going to win. Like, so this for Cincinnati, where they never had any expectation, didn't have any expectation this year. I'm thinking, if I'm a Bengals fan, it's a pinch me thing for those people.
It is. And I think one of the things about Burroughs, you were talking about the players that they have. I don't discount the fact that Jamar Chase is a very good receiver, and that he and Joe go back to their college days. They're sort of a package deal. He gives them a sense of comfort on the field. He can certainly catch the football. You know, they have some pieces in place. And, you know, to your point about, you know, not expecting to win and enjoying it more, I remember my first year with the Saints in 2000. We weren't expected to turn it around after the bad Ditka days. And we win our division, the NFC West, and we make the playoffs. We beat the Rams in the first round. We're a very good team.
How is the great Aaron Brooks? What's he doing?
He is retired. He went into the Saints Hall of Fame a couple years ago. I believe he's coaching youth football up in that area.
Talk about a sensation, right, at that time. Yeah. Literally, right?
Yes. You know, you talk about a team that, you know, hey, Ricky Williams was coming into his own. We had a great receiver in Joe Horn. We had some pieces in place, and we were able to get the divisional round the year that the Ravens won it all in 35. But yeah, it was fun because it wasn't expected. We suddenly looked at the end of the year and you know, kind of like Cincinnati said, why not us? And that's where the Bengals have come in and said, listen, we're just going to go out and we're just going to play our game. You know, I never thought in the conference championship game, to Kansas City, that I never thought that Cincinnati was dead even at halftime. The defensive stop they had at the end of the half, you felt like, you know what, they've given themselves a chance here.
Dude, that wasn't a defensive stop. That was an offensive blunder, right? I mean, that was just – I tweeted at the time, I'm thinking, you must be really cocky to lead points on the field.
Right. Right. And we can debate the decision, but you still have to make a play in open field, less than 5 yards from your goal line. A guy made a great stop to put the guy on the ground and not let them score the touchdown, which would have been probably a backbreaker at halftime. And it gave him some momentum. And the thing about Joe Burrow is he doesn't panic. You never see it in his face. No matter how many times he got knocked down in the divisional game, he kept getting up and throwing the football. They kept finding ways. And to your point, That is what's scary about him if you are a fan of a team in the AFC North, because he's the type of guy, much like a Roethlisberger, that he's always going to keep coming at you. He's a different type of build. He's a different type of player. Roethlisberger was a guy you couldn't bring down, but Burrow is the type of guy, he's going to look you in the eye when you knock him in the dirt and he says, I'm going to come at you in the next play. He's got a little bit of that unitas, I'm going to throw it in your ear the next time, and you better be ready for it or my receiver's going to catch it. He's got that sort of very quiet swagger that is scary if they keep their parts together, and we'll see what the success of this year, how they handle that going forward once they're maybe expected to do this and expected to be a force in the division and the conference for years to come with him at quarterback.
Pike, you're a little older than me. Where were you when the Bengals were in their last Super Bowl? I've told the story about buying my first big screen TV. I'd always wanted to watch a Super Bowl on a big screen TV. Not from the big screen store, because I wouldn't buy from there. But I bought it, I think, at the mall back in the day, and it was had the big tubes in it.
When you said, I'm trying to remember now.
89, you know? I mean, you had those big tubes in it, you know? Like, it's amazing to think of how much life we've had since the last time the Bengals were in a Super Bowl. It's incredible.
I was in the spring of 89. I was working at George Washington University. I was commuting on a daily basis. I was a women's basketball SID. And, you know, in those days, and probably still do, you play your Sunday basketball games early on Super Bowl Sunday because you know you won't get a crowd otherwise. So we probably were on the road or at home and watching it at the house. But, you know, they've had a, you know, I remember Boomer Esiason with them at quarterback, and you remember some of the players that they had.
I remember the Crum Rye play. You know, when I think about that Super Bowl, I think about that because, I mean, that was gruesome.
Yeah, it was. And you know, so this is a city that hasn't had, you know, I mean, they've had the Reds win a world title. You know, they've had those types of years. But in football, in a sport that they absolutely love in that city, you know, they haven't gotten to the top of the mountaintop. They're 60 minutes away, and you know, they're playing a team that's dangerous. They've got Aaron Donald, who I think is maybe one of the two best defensive players in the NFL right now. Certainly has been that way over the last decade. Matthew Stafford, who I watched a lot in college. I really liked him out of college, and he suffered all those years in Detroit. And that's a great story, too. You've got two quarterbacks that are, you know, that have had some different roads, but there's reasons to root for both of them if you're not a Ravens fan or an AFC North person in one of the other cities. This is good. This is a good matchup for television. It's a good matchup for the league. And you're having a pair of number four seeds in the Super Bowl, which is the lowest I think they've ever had in the game. So, you know, it proves the point that on any given Sunday, anything can happen. And it certainly sets it up for Super Bowl 56.
Chris Pike is here. He is usually there with me and with Luke for Super Bowl 56. I got to get the LVI. I'm working on the Roman numerals and all that. The Maryland Lottery and our friends at Wise and Coons and Rofo sending me out along with Liberty Pure to bring it all back. Listen, we'll talk more Radio Row. You and Luke are going to join us in the beginning of next week for what that would represent and all that. But just on the front end of this for LA and for the league, Chris, that the league has put so much capital into this, building this stadium that was on display late into the night on Sunday night. The 49ers fans, I'm wearing my red Coons and my red Wise hat. The 49ers fans certainly came down there and took over. The Rams are trying to build a fan base out there. But more than that, the league and the masks and COVID and California law and indoors and all of that. This was supposed to be this incredible thing that every celebrity would be out in full force for all of this. The Super Bowl in LA, Chris, you and I have done a bunch of Super Bowls. I've done 28 Super Bowls, never done a Super Bowl in LA. This is the first time I've ever done it. I didn't do any of those Rose Bowl games back in the day.
Yeah. And I think, you know, obviously, what they were showing on TV and during the championship game is the amount of celebrities were actually in attendance at the game. It's still Tinseltown. The Rams are a story there. You know, do they have the fan base of some other teams? You know, maybe not. Certainly the San Francisco fans coming up. There are a lot of reasons for that, you know, for them in terms of them being there and building that fan base back up. But nothing beats winning, and they're at the point again, and they're going to play in their home stadium. They will not be the designated home team as the Buccaneers were a year ago, but you're playing in familiar surroundings, you know, and they're hoping to do what Tampa Bay did a year ago with Tom Brady, and that's win a championship in your home stadium.
Well, I've had a lot of celebrities on Radio Row, and there's a handful, so it's 28 years. I can get right on one hand the people who did not sit down and do radio that I wish they had, right? So Burt Reynolds was running around one year in Jacksonville, didn't get him on. But then you think about the victories, you know, the times that Adam Sandler has sat on the set or Chris Rock has sat down with me or whomever, right? You know, the great Nils Lofgren or Paul Rogers from Bad Company and 10 other Hall of Fame bands. I still lament that the Backstreet Boys were on Radio Row a couple, 3 years ago, maybe Tampa, someplace. I don't know where the hell it was, some Houston, someplace, and I didn't get them on. If I'm in LA next week, here's my goal. I don't care whatever celebs we get, musicians, rock stars, movie stars, actors, whatever. I really want to get Fred Dreyer on. Like, I've never had Fred Dreyer on ever. I loved Hunter. You know, and we're out in LA. He was on Radio Row a number of years ago, somewhere, maybe San Francisco, maybe he was running around, and I didn't get him. I saw him, and I got all starstruck, and they offered me Jack Youngblood, and I'm like, okay. And I had Merlin Olsen before he passed on. I had Deacon Jones on before he passed. Deacon Jones demonstrated the head slap. Were you sitting there when Deacon Jones head slapped me?
I did not see that.
It's on video. You can go check it out at YouTube. It's out there. It's legitimate. Maybe that's what's wrong with me. But Fred Dreyer, I want to get him on. So that's my goal. Now, if Fred Dreyer comes on next week, it was a glorious week in Los Angeles. If he doesn't, I'll have to settle for Adam Sandler or Chris Rock or Will Smith or some real celebrity.
You know, I thought about this yesterday. It was like, you know, you see Tom Cruise or, you know, talking about the doing the open for the championship game, and that his movie has been sitting on the shelf for 3 years.
Really?
And they're promoting that movie, Top Gun 2, in the open of the conference championship game on CBS. You know, he sort of voiced over the open. And so you realize, oh, wow, they're going to L.A. You're going to have all of these stars and people who want to be around.
Oh, no, Top Gun 2's not out yet?
No.
So no. I did a segment with the actor and the actress. Do you know that? They came by 2 years ago in Miami. I don't know their names because I don't know actors.
It's been sitting on the shelf. It's been almost, it'll be 3 years from the time they originally were supposed to put it out to the time it actually will come out in May.
Do you remember they sat down and I admitted to them I had never seen Top Gun, and that's why they wanted to sit with me? I'd never seen Top Gun. Still, 2 years later.
Yep. So, I mean, you're going to have that type. I will be interested to see how this comes off from a league standpoint, from Radio Row and the people that are around it. Is it going to feel normal? How many media are actually going to make their way out to LA in the current circumstances? There's a lot of unknown, especially after last year in Tampa with basically the game and everything around it being on lockdown. So, they'll have a normal game in terms of a full house crowd. We'll see what it looks like in the city of Los Angeles and the LA Convention Center during the week while you and your compatriots from across the country talk about the game and everything else that goes on around it.
If Fred Dreyer walks in to Radio Row and I don't get him on, I'm going to be very, very upset. Chris Pyka will not be on Radio Row, but he will be with us in spirit and maybe in some reality along with Luke later on in the week as we get things going out in Los Angeles for full coverage of Super Bowl 56. It'd be like Kiss, mask and unmasked. So I will have my lottery mask. Chris, be safe, all right? I really will miss you, dude. When I, because like the media party and, you know, looking at pretty girls and drinking free drinks and getting free cigars and listening to music and seeing revelry and seeing happy Bengals fans and Zubaz and whatever. But the thing I really miss is that you and I don't jump in an Uber and go over to Okabing in K-Town and knock back some Korean shaved ice, maybe get a little, Korean barbecue going or something, or maybe even some chicken wings, some Korean barbecue chicken. That's just a $8 Uber ride from the hotel. So I'll miss that you're my eating companion on these road trips. So I don't know who's going to eat all the leftovers, but I'll miss you. And I'm sorry you're not going. Maybe next year you go to Phoenix with me. What do you think?
You never know. We'll see what happens.
Should have talked to you into going this year. Sitting there eating dessert by myself in Koreatown. Sounds lonely. I'll send you text. 3 hours behind. Chris Pica, he is blog and tackle. Also doing great stuff with the Bahamas Bowl, as well as with the Pro Football Writers, who will be convening. They convened last week to get together next week on the internet to announce Hall of Fame candidacy. That's why I had Clark Judge and Jason Cole on last week. You can find all that at a WNSD AM 1570 Towson, Baltimore. We never stop talking Super Bowl 56 and BaltimorePositive.com.